We come today on the fourth Sunday of Advent. The candle of love was lit, and we will be in our Bibles in the book of Isaiah soon. A book of prophecy written in poetic language, taken in the place of the 8th century BC. Old Testament prophecy was meant for the generation who originally received it, but there was also reference to the future. Prophecy can be difficult to interpret because the language cannot always be taken word for word after it's been translated from another language. God intended prophecy to be a plain language intermingled with ambiguous messages. And the reason why is God did not intend for his children to know every detail of what would take place in the future. This allowed God's children to have faith and trust in his grace and power. Let's pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit and then hear the word of God from Isaiah. God of love, you are revealed to us in your word, in accounts of prophecy that have been fulfilled. Emmanuel, as we wait for your return, help us to see your glory and love through the reading and preaching of your word. Amen.
If you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, turn to page 984. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. People of God, the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rick. We're going to look at this passage in three ways. First, we're going to look at Jesus prophesied. Second, we're going to look at Jesus in Bethlehem. And third, we're going to look at Jesus in our hearts. So first, let's look at the passage that shows Jesus is prophesied. Isaiah talks a lot about divine judgment and awaits the people of Judah. But in chapter 9, there is a prophecy of hope, a prophecy of something better to come. Listen to verse 2, in which Isaiah echoes back-to-back thoughts. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. The people of Judah are facing fear and despair under the rule of Assyria. Wars and threats of wars are circulating among the people. And that phrase, walking in darkness, it leads our minds to the valley of the shadow of death from Psalm 23:4. But remember the word light. It shines brighter than any darkness. This light refers to the promise and blessings of the Messiah. And we heard of this light and hope in the first week of Advent. In verse 3, there is a joy in the prosperity of great harvest, a harvest that's bigger than ever expected. Isaiah refers to joy 4 times. Increase their joy. They rejoice before you. The people rejoice at the harvest, and the soldiers rejoice. One commentator put it this way: the joy is in part an exultation of conquest and triumph. Joy was our message the third week of Advent. Then in verses 4 and 5, it gives us the reason for this joy. The well-being of the people is being dependent on the defeat of their enemies. Judah has been living under oppression, exploitation, and humiliation. And this joyful day will be marked by a lifting of burdens, will eventually come through the birth of God's Son. This burden itself is the sin of humanity. The work of Jesus will be greater than the work of Gideon and all others of the past. But now we come to verse 6. Something new and exciting is happening. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." The people are anticipating a rescuer, the one who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. According to commentators, this is some kind of royal announcement. Someone of great importance, a deliverer from their oppression, is coming. But joy will not be the only thing. There will also be peace. A peace between God and his people, not necessarily between nations. Listen to verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Did you hear the second week of Advent? Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Do you remember the greeting that the angels gave in the Gospel of Luke? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Here is the promise of peace to the people, but it's so much more. This deliverer is an heir of David who upholds justice unlike any king before. And this heir is fully backed by our faithful God, a God of love and compassion for his people. Second, Luke 2 tells us that Jesus comes to us in Bethlehem. We heard this promise in Isaiah 2, a light is coming, and that light is Jesus our Savior. When Jesus begins his ministry, he quotes directly from Isaiah 9, verse 2. Isaiah's prophecy starts with hope and joy that we long for, but he continues in verses 4 and 5 talking about Judah's exile during the 7th century BC. But this could also be describing the oppression that the Jews were facing when Jesus was born. They were under Roman rule at the time of his birth. And it was also talking about humanity's enslavement to the sin and oppression of the devil. This ninth chapter of Isaiah is an oracle which may have been spoken in a royal palace, maybe a birth announcement for a new heir of David's to take the throne, or a coronation announcement declaring one of David's to sit on the throne. Regardless, God's love came down in the form of a baby lying in a manger. Jesus comes in Bethlehem as Wonderful Counselor, the one who is dispensing wise counsel. He comes as Mighty God, a ruler or king with all power. He comes as Everlasting Father, one who will deal with his children in a loving manner, a father whose love will never end. He is the Prince of Peace, not just a peaceful person, but the champion of peace, the one who will wage war and fight against anything that threatens the peace of his children. In the end, peace will prevail. This one that we celebrate in the manger is different than any baby ever born, different than any king on this earth, for his kingdom will last forever, upheld with truth and fair justice and righteousness, unlike anything the people had seen in this broken world. All of this will come about because of our sovereign God, a God who is keeping his covenant promise to save all humanity from their sin. The third part is my main focus today: Jesus in our hearts. What does this passage really mean for us today? It was a prophecy. It was a prophecy for Isaiah's time. It was a prophecy of the coming of the babe in Bethlehem. We talked about those things. But what about today? Jesus has already come in the manger. If you've invited Jesus into your life to be your Savior, then he's living in your heart. God's love came down when he sent his only Son to be with us on earth. John 3:16-17 say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I'd like you to listen to part of this contemporary song.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. For us.
God. God loves us so much, so very much, that he sent his only son into this world to die on a cross for everyone's sins. It gives me chills. Maybe it gives you chills, thinking of such great love. People of God, our God loves us more than we can even imagine. His love stretches around the globe and it just keeps on going. His love knows no end. God reaches us out to us in love through the gift of his Son, who laid down his life for all of mankind. And God shows us that love even when we show him contempt. He gives us his Son to reflect his love. He gives us his Son to reflect his love. God is offering the world love so that we may be brought back into relationship with him. Without God showing his love through his Son, Jesus Christ, how would we know? How would we truly love others? God came not only to save us from his sin, from our sin, he came to show us the way to live, the way of love. A way of love that is filled with compassion, goodness, kindness, and justice for a broken world. Jesus came to show us how to change the world with his love. Will we make room in our heart for Jesus? Will we choose to allow Jesus to change our hearts? When we choose to believe in Jesus, the one who came and will come again, we can, through the work of the Holy Spirit, choose to live in love. Author Sarah Young writes in her devotional, Jesus Calling, and just a preference if you've not read her, she writes as if it's Jesus talking to you. She writes, living close to me referring to Jesus, requires making me your first love, your highest priority. As you seek my presence above all else, you experience peace and joy. While you journey through life in my presence, my glory brightens the world around you. Christmas is an invitation for us to choose to live in love. Christmas is a time to reflect on the amazing gift of love that God brought down from heaven. A time for us to make space and time to choose to shine the love of Jesus to everyone we come in contact with. Jesus' birth that we celebrate at Christmas, it's for us. In a world that screams of darkness and fear, a tiny babe came down to us. And we hear that baby crying over the ravages of war in Ukraine and Gaza. We hear the cries heard in the rubble of earthquakes, hurricanes, wildfires. This baby cries over gun shootings, poverty, sickness, and all the injustices of our world. People of God, The devil is attacking us in this dark world. A commentator says, we need a Savior to deliver us from the bondage, violence, and unhappiness that infects this world. When we keep our focus on Jesus, we will see a flicker of light. A flicker of light in this dark world. And with the hope that we have in Jesus, we can change the world one heart at a time. So how can we do this? When our focus is on Jesus, then our lives will reflect love and compassion that only come from God. Let me give you a couple examples. A congregation member told me that she was driving along when the Spirit prompted her to stop at the home of a woman. She knew this woman through a club they both belonged to. This woman had recently lost her grandson in a tragic accident. She went to the door, greeting this woman and telling her that she felt she needed a hug. Then she gave her a hug and told her she was praying for her and left. Later, this woman told our church member she was extremely touched by her action. And she continued to say, no one else from the club even said anything or sent me a card. Nothing. Congregation, the little things can make a difference. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a hug. Maybe it's sending a card. Here's another example. I was contacted by a former pastor's wife, I'll call Mary. Their daughter is a senior in high school and has chosen to make a public statement of her faith. Mary wondered if Rick and I would have any words or verses of encouragement for her. I wondered about this. How had we impacted her life? I talked to Rick. We weren't sure. We weren't her Sunday school teacher, her youth group leader, girls club leader. What did we say or do? So I reached out to Mary with our questions. She said, our daughter named the two of you as both people who made Our daughter named the two of you as people who have encouraged her. And then Mary said, and I quote, I think it's because you were both people who made the intention of connecting with her on a regular basis at church. She felt seen and cared for by you in the context of the body of Christ. It might seem very insignificant, but I think it makes an impact, and I'm grateful. See, when we share the love that God showed us through his gift, Jesus, this love will pour out of us as we're living in him. But often, it's a little nudge of the Holy Spirit. And it often comes in our subconscious. We often hear that little voice inside. You should give so-and-so a call. Where was so-and-so? Are they doing okay? Do we act? That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit, people. That little question. So-and-so was crying. Are they okay? Do we give them a call? Send them a card? I hope you're doing all right, thinking of you today. Those are promptings of the Holy Spirit. See, when we take time to hear those promptings and act on them, we're showing love. When we take a few minutes to call that person who we haven't seen at church lately, not to say, you haven't been at church. No, to say, hey, are you guys feeling okay? Haven't seen you. We miss you. Are you doing okay? Maybe something's going on. Maybe someone needs to reach out to them. Or maybe after church, you take just a few extra minutes to say hi to someone that God's calling you to say hello to. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes we don't have time. Maybe we'll grab a cup of coffee with someone and listen. Just listen. That Spirit gives us a little nudge. But will we act on that subconscious nudge? Will we choose to do something or just ignore it because, well, we're too busy? Our passage ends with, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Scott Jose shares this. "We are being told again how very, very fiercely and ardently and zestfully we are loved by God." That's the good news of Christmas. Love really did come down. God gave us this love in His Son, Jesus Christ, laying in a manger on a bed of hay. What are we going to do with this amazing love? Will we choose to live a life of love that God showed us when He sent His Son to earth? This Christmas, I pray that we will make room for Him to change us. I pray that we will allow God's love to help us change the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the unspeakable gift you have given to us in love, your only Son, Jesus Christ. May your love shine through us. With the prompting of your Spirit, may we give holy love to those who have been brought into our paths. In Jesus' name, amen.